Welcome back to the Gospel Sports Truths Podcast, and it is March Madness time. As always, we're going to talk about several different things, but a lot of this show is going to be dedicated to March Madness, and you will be hearing the show on Friday. So some of the things that we will be speaking on, you will have already seen. Be that as it may, we're going to have a lot of fun with it anyway. I'm your Jose, the fantasy football fiend himself, and I have my guy, your guy, BK Wins. Holla at the people, BK.
Hey, y'all. It's tourney time, bae.
Absolutely, which means it's also money time, so we will have several BK's best bets. Can't wait for that. We have a spectacular top five all time of something, and I'm going to be completely 100% honest with you guys. I don't know what I'm going to rant about yet. It'll come to me at some point in time between now and the time we get to it, but that's still going to be epic anyway. With that being said, remember, we are on YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's at The Gospel STP on Facebook, The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. Join both, subscribe, submit, follow, whatever you need to do to be a part of whichever group or all of the groups. Do that. Do that today. Do that right now. I'll give you 2 seconds. There was enough time. It should be done. All right, let's hop right in, BK. What is the good word of the week, my guy?
Well, you know, March Madness is upon us. The men's and women's tourney field officially set. Zay, are you ready for the madness? And what matchups? I know you've looked at the bracket, filled out your bracket, scrutinized the bracket. What matchups are you most wanting to see?
Well, BK, now that Clemson has already lost, I want anarchy. I want the whole bracket to burn at this point. I had them getting to the Elite Eight. I just, BK, don't shake your head. If you guys are just listening to the podcast, BK looks so disappointed right now. I had them in one bracket, making it to the Elite Eight. I always do two brackets. In my second bracket, I had them making it out of the first round, but then losing in the second round. But yeah, I mean, this is tournament time, baby. I mean, that's what March Madness is all about. Being right about some things, being wrong about some things, having fun with it all. But I would say I want to see the Cinderellas. I love the Cinderella stories. Whichever Cinderella is most capable of taking down one of the big boys, I would love to, for once in my college football watching days, see a Cinderella win the championship. We've seen several, you know, make it pretty far, but they are blue blood or team with higher expectations and better players just happened to take them out before the Cinderella story could end. But that's where I'm at this point. Have we recorded yesterday? I would have had a whole different soliloquy lined up about who's what and why and all that. But at this point, seeing what I saw from Clemson and Georgia and a couple other teams that struggled that I didn't think would, I'm just okay with admitting that don't take my advice about any of this stuff as far as the tournament is concerned. Listen to BK. I'm just saying, like, fantasy football, NFL, basketball, I got you. But apparently, I mean, it's day one. It's day one. Let me not overreact. According to the numbers, somewhere in the neighborhood of close to 60% of people made the same decision that I did. So there's a little bit of comfort in that as well. But BK, go ahead and tell us how you picked McNeese and your genius thought process in making that move.
So it's interesting because you and I talk a lot. We talked a little before the show and, you know, for me, there's certain double-digit seeds that I look to kind of target about. Given in the tournament, it's all about who can win six times and win the title. but it's also little pods like mini semifinals and matchups. The matchups really matter. And Clemson is a good matchup for McNeese. Like, it wasn't somebody that was going to be able to overwhelm them. And as long as they played their game pretty well, they were going to have a really good shot to make that competitive. Some of the other teams like that, you know, and I don't want to get too much into another segment, but, you know, there's some really dangerous double-digit seeds. And flat out, I'll tell you, I had McNeese into the Sweet 16 because I had McNeese upsetting Clemson and I had Purdue, or as I like to call them, Purdon't, because they usually don't do much. They were able to escape High Point today. But, you know, now McNeese plays Purdue. And honestly, I'll tell you 3 days in advance now at this point, or 2 days by the, or, you know, a day by the time you guys hear the show, because I'll play Saturday. I expect McNeese to beat Purdue and they'll go to the Sweet 16. Like, McNeese is scary good. They almost beat Alabama earlier in the year. I think Gonzaga was the other team they almost took out early in the year. Like, this team plays with big time teams and can play with them. So I just say that to say that sometimes in a matchup tournament like that, McNeese has a great chance to make some noise.
Now, we all know upsets, it's a part of March Madness. We've already seen a couple today. But other than McNeese, who you've already spoken on, what double-digit seed should everyone watch out for?
Sure, yeah. So I think there are, I'm going to give you 11 teams, but I'm going to give you a degree of difference. So the two best 13 seeds are Grand Canyon. They take on four-seeded Maryland. Grand Canyon can beat them. Like, Maryland better be very careful of Grand Canyon. They are, that's going to be, I believe, a tight game. The other team is Yale. You know, Yale, it's weird because in the Ivy League, you expect kind of like, I hate to say it, but you expect unathletic, slow pace, not really much going on. This Yale team can score the basketball. They scored 90 in, I don't remember, was their semifinal or the tournament championship that they won in the Ivy, but they scored 90. Like, Ivy teams don't do that in like a game and a half, usually. So they can score. They're going to give A&M all they can handle. So I think those two teams are the 13 seeds to be mindful of. From, you know, in bracketology, we talk about all the time, you know, 5 versus 12, where every year a 12 beats a 5, right? And this year's no different. It's already happened. We're 1-for-1. McNeese got it done. Sorry to remind you of that, Zay, my bad. But, you know, that's the 12-5 we're looking for. But the other ones to be mindful of, Colorado State is a 1.5-point favorite as a 12 seed. UC San Diego plays Big Ten champ Michigan. They're only a 2.5-point underdog. By the way, UC San Diego has the Tritons have the nation's longest winning streak active at 15. And Liberty upset, I believe, Auburn last year in the tournament. So Liberty can beat some people as well. All four of those 12 seeds are dangerous. You better be really careful when you play them. And then from an 11 seed standpoint, I think you have, again, all four teams. North Carolina, we'll talk about them more later, so I will spare you that. I'll just say that there is a lot of debate about whether they deserve entry in the field. And while I don't think that one game changes anyone's opinion on that perception of whether they were deserving or not, one thing was for sure. They played with their shorts on fire and they absolutely embarrassed the Aztecs in that game. That game was a beatdown. So, you know, they're a dangerous team. They have a good draw against Ole Miss. Drake is 30-3, Zay. 30-3. They have another good draw against Missouri. I know it's a Big 12 team and all that stuff, But Missouri has struggled for quite a while down the stretch. The last 2 weeks they didn't play well. Drake wins, you know, and so, and then the other one, some other teams to be mindful of, VCU, Xavier, and then the 110 seed I have on the radar is Utah State. They're not a team that a lot of people are familiar with, but the Aggies can play. So that would be the 10 seed I'd be mindful of. Oh, and one last thing, and this is more wishful thinking, because I think they're going to have their hands full. But a small shout out to my Akron Zips. They came from 18 down against Miami of Ohio to win the MAC. Told you they'd win the MAC. They did. It wasn't easy, but they did. And at the end of the day, you never have to apologize for winning. But Arizona is going to be a beast of a team to deal with. But which is why I didn't include them as a 13, because I just don't think Akron plays 9 or 10 deep. Akron shoots the lights off of three balls, and their guards can make free throws under pressure. So if they get ahead, they'll close you out. The problem is they don't have anybody that averages more than 16 points a game, and Arizona just has horses. Like, horses and horses and horses. It's going to be really hard for Akron to deal with them. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong. It's not a great matchup. What do you think about all that, Zay, when you looked at it?
We know it's going to happen somewhere, but it's not going to happen everywhere. And it's already happened once this tournament. So it just makes the odds of any of the other ones not being the one to do it, unless this tournament is just goes bananas and completely the way that I want it to go, which is all Cinderellas all the time. Like, great job, number 12 guy I don't know because I've never watched your school play before. I want that team to win. I know you've watched them all. In a moment of honesty, myself and most of America, several of the schools you just named, I got nothing for you, bro.
Well, it's funny, Zay, that you say this because people are like, how do you know about this? Or how do you bet on something? Most of us can't name two players on any of these teams. But, it, you know, obviously I need an intervention. That's all. if you guys haven't been able to pick up on this, football is by far, pro and cultural is by far my favorite sports. Okay. But I need to tell you guys, if you haven't figured it out with the energy, and I'm still, for the congregation, still not feeling well, but I have to tell you, I love March Madness. It is like Christmas and my birthday in college football and NFL playoffs all rolled into, especially this first weekend when we go from 68 to the Sweet 16. There is nothing better for me than watching all these games. And you know why, Zay? It's because it's something you say all the time in college football, where you like the little guys to have a chance. Why don't they get rewarded for their great seasons? Well, guess what? Drake at 30-3 is a little guy. They get their chance. UC San Diego, they get their chance. McNeese State, they get their chance. You know, even Akron, who's made it to the tournament now back-to-back years in 3 out of 4 years, in a one-bid league, they get their chance. And this is what makes it great, because you're one bad shooting half away from your season being over. And I love it, because anyone has a chance on any given day.
The bracket that I am, as excited as you are about the men's side of things, that's as excited as I am about the women's side of things, because I just feel like it's deeper. They're more notable, actually. I mean, like, and it may just be me, BK. I don't know if you're feeling a little ill in this second or if you're trying to hold something in as I say that.
No, real quick, I'll tell you. I'm excited about this year's bracket and the women's side for a couple reasons.
Okay.
One, because being in South Carolina, and I know there's a bias to this, but I would love the Lady Gamecocks to go back to back. That would be a huge, huge, huge deal. I would love for that to happen. I'm rooting for that to happen. The other thing is unlike a lot of years, both in men's basketball and also women's, where it's very top heavy and there's only usually two teams that really have a chance to win in the women's side, usually UConn and South Carolina lately, you know, and I know sometimes there's a couple more, but usually it's very, you know who it's going to be most of the time. And in the men's side, the last couple years, it was obvious it was going to be UConn. It was UConn and then whoever was going to play UConn. This year, there's literally probably, I think, seven teams, maybe eight, that have a legit chance on the women's side to cut down the nets. And I think that's better for the game when it's not just, we know it's going to be UConn, we know it's going to be South Carolina. They're way better than everybody. Don't even bother playing against them. Like, that. Yeah. That's why I'm excited.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better, BK. Of course, we have South Carolina. We do have UConn, although they aren't the prohibitive favorite that they used to be. You also have UCLA. You have USC. You have Texas. You have Notre Dame. You have LSU. TCU. I mean, like, there's so many teams that, just depending on the matchup, because guess what? South Carolina's great, but if they end up in a bad matchup with a team that has great post play, they really don't have the players to be able to create the scheme to stop it. They would just have to hope that it was a heck of a shooting day and they were able to outscore them, because they won't be able to keep them from scoring. You have players on most of these teams that they're 2 to 3 deep as far as stars or important players, if you will. In years past, we've had teams where there was only, you know, literally one person on the team, and if that person didn't come to play, then that team didn't win. There's not much of that here. South Carolina doesn't even really have a quote-unquote superstar, but they're the deepest team. So it's kind of the opposite of some of the other teams where they have the big eye or the duo, if you will. South Carolina can just, if they run you versus slowing down, they have the most players to sub in that are players that are capable really, truly playing the game at its highest height. So I can't wait. But the same thing for the men's side. There's something to be said for not going into the tournament with a foregone conclusion of what you're going to see a week from now. Like, there's something to be said for that. And the best thing for sports, and you see quite a bit of it for this particular tournament, which is why so many people love it, is the little guy has the best shot, as far as I'm concerned, of any playoff setup right here in March Madness. I can't think of another sport or another playoff type setup where the little guy has that shot for it to be any given evening, because it's not Sunday for most of these games. So, but I mean, yeah, not to mention the fact that it's in that sweet spot where everyone's missing football. Like, honestly, like, let's keep it real, BK. This is that spot where you're not sports starved, because the NBA is still going on. The college basketball season is kind of winding down as far as regular season is concerned. But to have something that kind of gets the juices flowing again, something that really truly matters, and that everyone, even if they aren't a huge fan of the sport, they have an interest, a vested interest in some cases, based on brackets and putting $5, $10, $15 down. You know, you may have no clue what the heck you're doing, but now you're vested and you're actually paying attention to what's happening, even if it's just so that you know whether or not you won your you know, your job pool or whatever the case may be, or your bet amongst friends, or just your ranking amongst you know, all of the ESPN, Yahoo, and whoever else does the rackets, you know. And then some of you may be on, you know, your FanDuels of the world and DraftKings of the world trying to get a few coins. So it's one of those things that even if you aren't tied to the sport, a lot more people are tied to the event than the sport itself. And that just, it makes that water cooler talk that much more fun. Even when no one in the conversation knows very much about what they're talking about, unless BK happens to be at the water cooler, you get a feel that you kind of think that you know what you like, and that's all you need to talk about sports.
Yeah. I know, just to go back, and that was very well said. I think I was curious what you thought about this, because I mentioned I think there's really 8 teams that could win it all.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina, UCLA, Southern Cal, Texas, UConn, LSU, Notre Dame, and TCU, which are mostly 1 and 2 seeds with a couple of exceptions. My question to you, Zay, is who you got? Who's your pick to win it all in the women's bracket?
South Carolina. Not that they should win necessarily with this team back to back, but I'm not picking another team. I'm not. Now, if you ask me, outside of my huge South Carolina bias, who do I think would be up next? I think the second team with the best odds to win is probably going to be UCLA. So that's those are the two teams that I have the highest of hopes for. But this isn't even a list, but I'm going to give an honorable mention anyway. Give me USC. If Juju and her cohorts can get on the same page, I believe that they're as good as just about any other team that they could go up against. They tend to be able to weather the storm. And as long as you're in it at the end and you have someone with her basketball acumen, with her level of, how will I say? I'll say it this way, and this is high praise for me. I see that Mamba mentality in Juju. And you give anyone with that mentality a shot at winning, they'll will themselves to doing it. So you better not let it be a close game and let her be within, you know, eyesight of the finish line. Like you better cut the head off the snake while you can, because outside of that, that team can beat anybody. So it's either going to be the real USC, the fake USC, or UCLA.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I have South Carolina going back to back. And the reason why is I know I've been a little hard on them early in the year. Getting blown out by UConn by almost 30 at home is embarrassing. You can't lose that badly at home to anybody. I don't care how good UConn is. That was really bad. But I honestly think it was exactly what Coach Staley needed for this team. And here's why. Look, I've sung her praises, and rightfully so, for many different things, because Dawn Staley is an absolute amazing coach, but she's as great a coach as she is, she's a much better person and much better leader. And that is key to her tremendous success. But the thing that I love that she does, of the many things that you can choose from, is she's great at delivering the right message to her team and them responding when things don't go well. And, you know, it's hard when you're the defending champs and you're used to winning all these games and they've won 70-some straight at home and hadn't lost in all these years at home, you know, and had this SEC long winning streak that got snapped at Texas, right? 50-some games that it was. When you win all the time, just ask UConn and Gino Auriemma how hard it is. When you're used to winning all the time, sometimes it's hard to get your team's attention. It doesn't take much effort to get your team's attention when you get blown out by 30 at home. But her ability to get this team to refocus, re-energize, and play with intensity and purpose, this team has been a bunch of assassins ever since that loss. I mean, they have destroyed people, and not just mediocre teams or good teams. They blew out Texas by 19 to win the SEC title game, the championship. So, like, they're hammering really good teams. A motivated, focused Carolina team is a very, very scary and dangerous team to deal with. You don't, and not to mention, and we'll talk about this later, but they also, and I'll just tease this segment. Thanks to the committee, they also have a little chip on their shoulder. So that's not going to do anybody any favors either.
100% agree. 100% agree. So apparently, there was a bit of a sale that went down today, and it brought the association to the forefront for a moment, because apparently the Boston Celtics just sold for a record $6.1 billion with the B to Bill Chisholm. Yeah. Hook a brother up, Bill. Just tell you what, give me your lunch allowance for the month as my yearly salary, and I'm sure we'll be fine. Just, what in the $6.1 billion? Shit, like, this guy, I don't know if $6.1 billion broke his bank, but if it didn't, that means he definitely should be hooking us up. I will sing the praises of the Celtics as often as we can, unless they're going against the Lakers, which I'm not willing to put that up for sale. May the best person win. That's the best I can give you. But yeah, the Celtics have a new owner, and apparently it's a new owner with very deep pockets, which was very much necessary because they are paying out the wazoo just for their top three players, not to mention the other guys that they, I mean, for whatever reason, I guess the Celtics don't have a hard cap, and they can just pay everybody. But when you home grow your team, you get a little bit more leverage in that aspect, that you can sign your own guys as long as you're willing to pay the luxury tax. So, you know, kudos to the guy with deep enough pockets to take on that team's payroll and wanting to continue, obviously, to be successful. I'm assuming that he won't be cheap going forward. But what are your thoughts?
Well, first, my first question is, are you adopting? Because if you're buying a team for $6.1 billion, feel free. I'm available. But obviously, it's a great move for the Celtics. We all know that in the NBA circles, the NBA for many, many, many years literally revolves around the Celtics and the Lakers. So no surprise that they are the two biggest storied franchises in the history of the NBA. No surprise that the Celtics sold for a lot. Little surprising they sold for a record amount, because anytime you break a record, it has to surprise you a little bit. Hence, they broke a record. But given the value of their team in, you know, the defending champs, and for a reason. So, but yeah, great for them. And, you know, you guys got a little bit of a break from March Madness. So,
absolutely. And now for our truth and nothing but the truth. One of our favorite segments, which every segment on the show is one of our favorite segments, if you haven't figured that out yet. What's up first, BK?
So, are there any men's teams that have a legit reason to be upset over missing the tournament? You know, there's been a lot of crying about West Virginia, Indiana, and Ohio State. Is there anybody that should be upset about getting snubbed?
Yep. All of them. All of them. BK, I say that because, and I know I'm kind of combining two questions here. our next thought, if you will. But if you're on the bubble and the person making the decision of whether or not you get in is the AD of a team who's also on the bubble, and that team gets in, doesn't matter what the name, doesn't matter what the record, if several teams are on the bubble and the guy making the decision decides that his team is the best team to get in, even if it's true, the optics aren't going to be great. Like, this is a lose-lose situation for him. And yes, every other school that was on the bubble should be pissed. That's where I'm at with this, BK. I understand the gripe. Even if, but I'll also say, if he wasn't the guy and North Carolina got in, I would have been fine with it. I would have been fine if West Virginia got in. I would have been fine if Indiana or Ohio State or there's several teams that could have gotten in, but do better. Don't be on the bubble. Like, I mean, it's a I understand and kids quit playing on my line, do better conversation all at the same time. Like, don't be on the bubble and we don't have to worry about this conversation. How about that? But at the same time, the powers that be, you may want to pick someone that doesn't actually have a rooting interest to be the person that makes the final decision. I just think that that's fair for all parties involved. That's just where I am. And I don't know, reasonably speaking, I don't think that anything that I said is telling tales out of school, you know, that. And for anyone that's probably even a half a year younger than me, you have no idea what I just said, because that's something my grandma used to say. But it's not far-fetched to be upset about someone making the final decision that is an AD at one of the schools. I'll just say that.
So
you guys got to go to YouTube or Facebook, because the way BK just rolled his eyes, I don't think we're going to be on the same page here.
So here's what I'll say. I understand. Well, first, let me answer the question. No, I don't think any of the teams should be upset, because when you live on the bubble, you die on the bubble. And, you know, Ohio State had a chance to make the tournament. They were under 500 in Big Ten play. They lost an awful game against Iowa in the Big Ten tournament that likely would have put them in. They lost that game and Iowa fired their coach. So, you know, you win that game, you're probably in. You have no one to blame but yourself. Win your games in the conference and don't lose bad games at the end of the year, and you're in. Indiana, the only reason why they had a chance to make the tournament is their coach literally basically halfway through the year said, "Hey, I'm resigning. Please beg for me to play better." You know, win one for the Gipper speech, basically. IU's not a tournament team. Everybody knows that. Neither Ohio State or Indiana had any argument. The West Virginia one is a little bit tougher, only because, you know, they did have some key wins. They did have more quad one wins than North Carolina, 4-1. But their record was worse at 19-14. It was also held against them that they were missing their star player. However, they won these quad one games with their star one player. So I'm not a fan of having it both ways. But I think where West Virginia failed themselves is win more games. It's hard to make the tournament when you're 19-14. I just don't think they're a tournament team. They don't pass the eye test. They don't pass the resume test. As far as North Carolina goes, so all of you guys know, but for those of you, this is your first show, let me spell this out. I bleed baby blue, so understand my love of the University of North Carolina. Okay? Please know. North Carolina played a much tougher schedule than these teams did. Now, granted, they didn't beat anybody other than UCLA, so that I'm not giving them a pass, but they played a stronger schedule. They were 13-7 in their conference. Granted, an easier conference than the Big Ten for sure, right? See Indiana, Ohio State. Big Ten, way better conference, second best conference in basketball behind the SEC. But they were 13-7. They won 8 of their last 10 games. Their only loss was to Duke. One, they got boned by the officiating with a lane violation call that should have never been happened. And the other one, you know, Duke took them to the woodshed because Duke's Duke. They're awesome this year, let's be honest. At the end of the day, their net ranking was better. Their wins above the bubble was better. Their strength of schedule was better. Their conference was record was way better. They were the only one that had a winning record in their conference. Who knew that you had to win conference games? And not only did they win conference games, they were almost 2 out of every 3, 13-7, 65%. These other teams weren't even at 50. So here's my thing. It's not North Carolina's AD's fault that he was the committee chair this year, because for two reasons. One, these are pre-selected before the year ever happens. And two, nobody with a brain would have ever thought North Carolina would have been on the bubble this year anyway. It wouldn't have mattered. It shouldn't have mattered. And North Carolina is to blame for even being on the bubble with their piss poor play early in the season. But they made a lineup change that they got smaller. They were more athletic. They made a lineup change that made them a lot better. Give them credit. Should have been done sooner. That's why I want to fire Hubert Davis. Not the time for that. But what I'll say is North Carolina was the best option. If you want to get mad at teams that got in, see Texas. You're 6-12 in conference play. I don't care that the SEC was number one. You win 1 out of every 3 conference games, there's no way in hell you should be a tournament team. The fact that they were 19-15 and had to win 2 SEC games out of their ass to do it, I don't want to hear it. Texas should have been out. And by the way, just in case you missed the memo in their first 4 game, they choked the lead against Xavier and got knocked out of that too. So Texas should have been out. Oklahoma should have been out. Neither one of those teams belonged in the tournament. The SEC, I don't care how damn good they are, and they are great. 14 teams is ridiculous. Please stop. So you want to get mad at those teams that are also rans in the SEC getting in. But I will tell you, Zay, it comes back to everything that we've talked about privately, publicly, and everything. The NCAA doesn't want to hear it, but this is the truth. It all comes down to money. At the end of the day, Oklahoma, Texas specifically, North Carolina, and then to a smaller degree, Oklahoma, these teams bring in buku bucks to the NCAA. No one gives a damn if Indiana or West Virginia makes the tournament. And that's the truth. Like it or not, that's the truth. Tell me I'm wrong.
I can't. And I appreciate you for helping me figure out what I'm going to rant about later. Let me just jot that down so I don't forget.
I got a bonus rant.
Yeah, you just helped me out a great deal. Yeah. I'm literally just typing this down right quick so I can go back to it in a minute.
Well, while you're doing that,
what we got last coming up for Truth and Nothing But the Truth?
So, two quick things to wrap up the truth. Which top seed in men's basketball do you think, we're going to have you look in your basketball crystal ball.
Okay.
What top seed do you think will be the first to lose?
So this is kind of difficult for me because Auburn has a strong team. They've struggled recently losing to Tennessee in the tournament. They could be a little vulnerable. Duke, their potential weakness lies in lack of depth. We know that come tournament time, guard play is everything. They don't have a whole lot there, which could potentially be exploited. Houston, they have a strong record, but don't have that much as far as size is concerned. So depending on the matchup there, if they get matched up against a big physical team, even if they're quote unquote better than that team and anything else, you can't learn size, and that matters a lot in this tournament. And then there's Florida, who's earned the top seed, but I kind of feel like they could be a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, get off in front running Florida is going to be phenomenal, but make them play close to the vest like you deserve to be there in the earlier rounds, and they may exit early as well. So I guess I got a gut feeling that it's Florida. I just, they all have their warts, if you will, but I just got a gut feeling that it's going to be the Gators.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to stay in the SEC, but I actually think it's Auburn. And, you know, they got upset by Liberty last year in the tournament. They lost three of their last four games to end the season, granted against three really strong teams. So it's not like, you know, but this team, unlike a lot of top teams, their margin for error is a lot less. And I know that you guys are going to see this Friday morning and this will make a lot more sense. But I watched some of them today against Alabama State in their 1-16 match. And with 3 minutes to go in the first half, it was 32-31 Auburn. So they played 17 minutes of the first half to a draw, basically. And they closed on a 9-0 run to have a 10-point lead at the half. And obviously they cruised to win by 20. So they won comfortably. That's not a problem. But with 3 minutes to go in the first half, you're only up one against a 16 seed, where last year the top seed averaged a 34-point margin of victory. That's a concern to me. For sure. And so I just wonder if they'll be able to hold up under tournament pressure. So they're my team.
Understandable. Makes sense.
Rounding out the truth, Z, I've been dying to ask you this, and I kind of alluded it to earlier. So South Carolina head coach Dawn Staley was furious that they weren't the top overall seed, that UCLA got it. What is your reaction to her frustration with the committee's decision?
Twofold. First and foremost, fake outrage. But I'll explain why that is the case and why it makes sense for it to be the case in just a moment here. Second, and just as importantly, she has an argument. If strength of schedule is supposed to be weighted as heavily as we are to believe, and she sets up the schedule, the gauntlet, if you will, that Carolina had to go through, then it makes sense. Although they had lost, and that home loss to UConn by 30 points hurt a lot. If that was a home loss to UConn by 2 points, they probably would have gotten the number one overall seed. But at the end of the day, that loss shouldn't have hurt them as much as it did, because they scheduled that team. They didn't have to do that. And that's her gripe. Like, if we say, hey, you know what? As long as you don't hold it against us for taking on all comers, if we don't beat everybody, which I think would be a very high expectation for this particular team, because a little less than desired as far as the post game is concerned and being able to defend the post, but fake outrage, because this is, I'll use the phrase Belichickian, okay? Goats recognize goats. Sometimes you have to create something to be pissed off about to create the fire that's going to take you through the playoffs or the tournament in this case that you want to be the champion of. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that Dawn Staley knows that whether she's the number one overall seed or just a number one seed, which she is, doesn't necessarily make the journey that much better, worse, easier, harder. It's all about matchups. But I also know that a great coach will use anything and everything that you put in front of them as a motivating tool for their pupils. So reasonable gripe and fake outrage. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, for me, I think just a couple things. They had by far the toughest strength of schedule. Their resume was by far the most impressive. The committee obviously penalized them for two things: a blowout loss at home by UConn by almost 30, and losing head-to-head against UCLA. But at the end of the day, I think this worked out well for South Carolina because of the four number one seeds in the women's draw. They have by far the easiest path to the Final Four. In fact, they're going to see no adversity heading there. That bracket
is what we call a blessing in disguise.
They have a Charmin soft bracket.
And I mean, sometimes you get hooked up by getting something that you thought you never wanted. And that's where South Carolina finds themselves. God forbid, don't hear what I'm not saying, but if there's any type of a significant entry to pretty much any team that they're going to see when it matters the most, get a look, because they're deep enough to replace any and everybody on the South Carolina side. So hopefully there's a happy, healthy tournament, and it'll all be won or lost based on gameplay. But you can never discount injury coming in at the wrong time. Just ask Duke, and I'm sure they was Flag never had the injury that he had, but it looks like he's going to be all right. So, yeah, that's all I'm up with that. And that pretty much wraps up the truth and nothing but the truth. What we got next, BK?
Well, you know, we always, one of our favorite segments, I know one of mine, is being able to talk about top five random something. And I love it because it gets, everyone gets another different, sees a different side of us in the segment. So I kind of like, I kind of look at the look behind the curtain. So I really like this segment. So this week, the top five, our top five favorite game day snacks. What is your number five, Zay?
So BK and congregation, I am in a particularly, I would say, what term would I use? Apropos seat, if you will, for this particular top five. Because eating is my thing. Snacks are where I excel. Number five for me, I'm going old faithful here. Potato chips. Doesn't have to be fancy. Just good old fashioned. Don't have to wait for the heavier d'oeuvres of the meal that's being prepared to finish. Bust open the bag of chips, let's eat. Number five, potato chips.
I'm convinced you saw my list. Because my number five is specifically Pringles potato chips, but potato chips number five for me.
Well, let me tell you why you're wrong, BK, because Pringles have the worst aftertaste of any chip I've ever eaten, and I would only eat Pringles if there was nothing left and it was the middle of the night and I wanted some chips, I would still. Lay's beat Pringles by a mile.
Guys, remember that eye roll you saw earlier in the show? It's returned.
Hey, look, I'm pretty sure. Matter of fact, I'm 99.9% sure that the vast majority of the congregation is with me on this one, BK. I give you and Vander your flowers. You know, you have your March Madness. Vander's the Nostradamus of fantasy. You will not take my snacks away from me, BK, okay?
Touche.
The ball's in my court on this one, buddy.
Fair enough.
Pardon the pun. All right, number four. I have a fancier chip, if you will. We're going to kick it up a notch, if you will. Nachos. Number four, nachos. And not just plain chips. That wouldn't beat out potato chips. I'm talking some ground beef, some cheese, some sour cream, some guacamole, pico de gallo, some souped up nachos. Some real
pico de who?
Pico de gallo.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
That definitely will not be on my best bets.
What?
I thought you were naming like a player of the year or something there. I got confused.
Nachos. Number four. What you got?
Number four. Again, I know I'm going to stand on my own little island on this, but I like Twizzler Bites. So number four.
Again, but go ahead.
Twizzler Bites. Love them.
Number four. You got licorice beating up potato chips, BK?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. That's all I can say. But it's okay, BK, because you're not the snacker that I am. So I'm not looking for you to be.
Well, nobody said my list was any good. It's my list.
I'm changing your top five, BK. That's what we're doing in this list today. Number three.
At this point, we might as well just have you do my list.
It will work out better. Number three for me. Is this on your list? How did this not? Yeah, your list is completely screwed, BK. I win just with this one. I don't even have to do number two and number one. Wings. Wings. Wings got to be on the list. I don't care what flavor wings is your flavor. Wings. You pick the flavor. It's better than anything I've named so far and anything that BK is going to name going forward. So wings.
Number three. Peanut butter and chocolate chip cookie.
Good Lord, no. Peanut butter chocolate chip cookies up against wings, BK? No, you're going to lose again.
Listen, I'm used to losing this round.
Number two. This may be a little bit off, but I don't care because this is what I like. Give me a good old-fashioned chili dog. Love them. Quick, fast, filling, cheap. It checks all the boxes. Chili dog. It doesn't matter if you're going to have one person over or 20 people over. You aren't going to break the bank with chili dogs, but you can delight several taste buds. So give me a good chili dog any day. That's number two for me.
So I'd like an apology. Because much like Zay creatively adjusts his list throughout the segment, my number two, and I'm going to use air quotes of creatively, number two, my number two is Wings.
That's not your number two.
I creatively adjusted it.
Tell the truth. This is the gospel's worst truth.
I've adjusted it to show that number two
Wings
is Wings.
Wings at best was your honorable mention. And now it's your number two.
Yes.
You know what I take that as, BK?
That you're right.
I talk some sense into you.
Listen, see, I'm coachable.
I can't be mad at that. Number one, and actually it's both of our number ones. You can't go wrong with pizza. It's just you don't have to be the one to make it, or you can make it. However you want to do it. Pick up, carry out, delivery, however you want to do it. You cannot go wrong with pizza. Big chain, only one restaurant in the world, however you want to do it. Pizza is the creme de la creme of sports eating. Humble opinion. But it has to be right because me and BK both has it as number one. So that's really all you need to know that it's 100% correct. So
I'd like the people to know out there that as much as I got bashed in this segment, my number one was pizza. Number two is wings. Can you get better than pizza and wings? Thank you. No one's going to remember my Twizzler bites or my peanut butter chocolate chip cookies that are, by the way, very yummy. And that's a technical term. Pizza and wings, one and two. Write that down. Book it.
Gotta love it. BK, we are back in the money. BK's best bets are back. And this is your wheelhouse, even more so than several of the other sports that you've made us money in. What do you got for us, my guy?
Well, first, I'm thankful to still be on this show after taking a three-week break of best bets. My producer sent me a lot of hate mail about not having this. So I just want everyone out there to know that I feel pressure this week to not F it up because I've heard about my month vacation. So here's time to earn my keep. This week's best bets. Remember when I promised you there'd be a lot of plays? I got nine of them. And we're only talking day one of the tournament. Well, day one and two. So
Is it possible, BK? Is it possible that we break it up between games that have already, that when they hear it, they've already played versus run and go play right now because you haven't?
Sure. So the games, and for those of you out there, I sent him the show prep this morning. So these were all done well before the tournament started.
I'll keep him honest. I'll tell you whether or not he actually sent me what he's about to tell y'all.
You'll
be gay.
So in games that haven't happened yet, I have North Carolina -1 continuing their tournament run. They'll beat Ole Miss.
They play
tomorrow. They play Friday afternoon at around 4:00.
Okay, bet.
Colorado State -1, the 12 seed versus 5. Colorado State, the Rams, a 12 seed favorite. -1, I like them to win in advance. The two-time defending national champion UConn Huskies, -5 over Oklahoma. You already guys heard about how much I can't stand Oklahoma's team this year, not because it's personal, but just how they play. They're not a very good team. They're not a tournament-worthy team. They'll get exposed Friday against the Huskies. In games that have happened, Creighton +3.5 over, I remember who they played, over Louisville. I like Drake +7 is I think they're 11 seed over Missouri. Drake +7, Utah State +7. The Aggies, you heard me talk about them earlier, is the best 10 seed that I see in the tournament. I have them covering against UCLA. In games that have already happened, you guys know about McNeese State. They were getting 8 points and won outright over Clemson. And Gonzaga -5.5 easily won today as well. Those were the best bets. So you had, and the other one that I had on the docket as well that happened today as well, Yale +8. They just missed on that number. A&M squeaked that out. I think they won by 10. So 9 or 10. So that one was a very tough loss, very close. But those are this week's best bets. Again, a lot to choose from. You notice in a lot of these situations, I didn't ride with the chalk. You see a lot of +7s, +8s. Identifying these lower seeds that are able to play these teams tough is important. 5 versus 12 is the most popular upset. 6 versus 11 is second. Those are the two you want to hone in on. And so just be mindful of that. Also, I know that I don't talk about this a lot because I don't bet a lot of these big spreads, but stay away from teams like Auburn giving 30 points against a 16 seed. Because here's the thing. Do I acknowledge that Auburn's way better than Alabama State? Yes. But it's so hard to predict how long a team is going to stay motivated when they have a huge lead and they got to play 2 days later. So you don't want to risk injury. Whether you win by 30, 36, or 26 doesn't matter to the team, but it matters to the spread. So don't get yourself caught up in a situation like that. In these tighter spreads, it's easier to get it done, but those are this week's best bets.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Can't wait to play him. It is now time for our Can't Miss Weekly Rant. And BK, I guess I'll go first because there was something that was near and dear to your heart that you wanted to put out there this week. For me, it just kind of came on the fly, and I'm going to talk about something that happens in, I think, a lot of college sports, but I would just caution us to be mindful of making decisions based on it. And before I even say it, I know it's a pipe dream, but I just don't like when we put college students at a disadvantage because we're making money decisions or money motivated decisions. If team A deserves to go into whatever tournament, basketball, football, playoffs, whatever the case may be. Make it about who's most deserving and make it cut and dry versus it being who's going to have the biggest draw and going to put the most butts in the seats or going to forget all of that. Can we just make the main thing the main thing and understand that you're in a point right now where you can't help but make money? Can we at least make the college experience for these kids what it's supposed to be? Make it fair, make it about true competition, and not make it about how can we squeeze another nickel out of the process. Like, let's just be fair, firm, and consistent and leave it there versus anything else sneaking its way in to our thought process. And that pretty much wraps it up. BK, what you got?
So, it's not uncommon for an elected official to say something stupid. This one, no different.
Bam, 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 bam! Coming in hot.
West Virginia governor, by the way, newly elected West Virginia governor, Patrick James Morrisey, had a ridiculous overreaction where he's threatening legal action against the NCAA for his West Virginia Mountaineers getting snubbed from the tournament. Now, I say this all the time where you can't fix stupid. This is ridiculous. I hope he's a better politician than this display of utter stupidity. And please know that nationally, he's getting crucified for this. This isn't just BK's rant. Nationally, he's been getting crucified for how dumb what he said was. First of all, your team didn't belong in the tournament. Second of all, even if it did, you're not going to sue the NCAA. Over what? Because you didn't like the outcome? Come on. Here's the thing. If you want to come out and say, you know, I'm really disappointed by the outcome, I felt these kids in university deserve better, I'm all for that. I don't agree, but no one will really poke fault at that because it's sincere, genuine, and honest, and there's some validity to how he feels. But to threaten a lawsuit is embarrassing. It's literally like I'm going to take my ball home and cry. And there's no place in this. He had some kind of little catchy phrase for the NCAA. He had a little banner up there, which I'll let you Google that yourself. Watch a YouTube video. This guy is an absolute asshat. And I hope that the rest of his term and for the poor people of West Virginia get better service from him the remainder of his term than they got from this press conference. Because if this is what they're going to get, you might as well all move because this guy's an idiot. You can't say such stupid things, even though the intent to support your university in your outrage for them getting snubbed, I understand it's emotional. But Zay, you and I for a living, we're taught emotional intelligence all the time, right? What's the exact word we learn? Don't be an HR nightmare, right? If there was an HR in the state of West Virginia, this guy would have been let go. So please, guys, it's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be emotional. It's okay to be frustrated, upset, and whatever other word you want to describe. But there's the right and wrong way to do it. You don't send a message out to the entire country that you're going to sue a governing body because of a decision they made. And there's nothing to support that your decision is better than the decision they made. Because, well, you could argue you deserved it. You could argue you didn't. So, and you can't prove it either way. So in the court of law, how in the heck are you going to win a case that you can't prove? And that's the truth.
And that about wraps it up for this week. Next week, we will be back bringing the heat, bringing more BK wins, and making sure we entertain you guys with the vast knowledge that we have as it pertains to sports. For this week, we're done. We out. And remember, always tell the truth.
And nothing but the truth. And go Zips.
Be easy.